Warning! What follows is a story of monsters, madness, and mayhem. I am Nick.
And I'm Zach.
What? Welcome to We're In Feared, a barely educational podcast about global folklore. The name's to enlighten, entertain, and expand your world! Funny thing about being crazy is if you throw off the cadence for the intro, I forget what I'm saying. Good stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah.
But well, we're here being spooky.
Yeah. All I have to do is say my name, so I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I think you got that. You nailed it.
Most.
What I just put in my mouth was delicious, which is weird to say in an audio medium. But here we are.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Nick.
Yes, Zachary.
As usual, tonight I'm going to tell you a story.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right, cool. What do we got?
December 7th, 1941.
Oh, God, this is a bad story.
Well,
was it a day that would live in infamy?
It was.
Oh, shit.
And we all know what happened then. Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, and the United States entered World War II.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did that, yeah. Well, the country did that. We weren't alive then.
Yeah, we did not personally do that.
No.
Well, the West Coast for months would be plagued by threats of Japanese invasion.
Correct.
People were terrified.
Correct. Salt in the mainland. That was a big fear.
Yep. There was a big fear of exactly that. Cities had blackouts in effect so that if planes flew in, they couldn't bomb.
Amazing.
They had riots because some people wouldn't go along with, or if they, weren't going to. I forget where it was, but 2,000 people showed up and caused a bunch of problems because they were worried somebody wasn't gonna black out their stuff. And
it's almost like a reverse, well, not reverse, the same deal. It's an issue of public safety and someone just refuses, nah.
Yeah.
Bill, turn off your lights.
Yeah, so then 2,000 people show up and they're like, turn off your goddamn
come
lights.
Come on, man. Ugh, okay.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so the West Coast, the whole country, was worried about World War II. We're involved now. Before it was, it's over there. It's not our problem.
It's by proxy. We're sending money and doing the things, but not affecting necessarily American lives.
Right.
And it's now, one of those things you could just kind of ignore if you wanted until you couldn't.
And now we're involved, though, and we were brutally attacked.
Yes, it's a massacre.
Yeah, so that gets in people's heads. So there's nothing wrong with, wanting to be safe and being worried about this invasion.
Right.
But the West Coast.
Yeah.
They're scared. They're the closest to Japan, right? We're a big country.
Correct.
Pacific Ocean's a big ocean, but
it's true.
Right on the opposite side of each other.
Literally just separated by this massive body of water.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was known that the Japanese Navy was attacking ships in the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
They had sunk a good amount of just different ships. I think they were mostly civilian ships.
Okay.
Because that was a thing that they did.
Of course it was. Yeah.
Merchant ships.
Okay.
So, there's a reasonable fear here. They're close.
Yeah. They're looming.
They are looming. Well, they're submarines, though, so most of them.
Ooh.
Causing these problems.
Oh, so they're lurking.
They're lurking more than looming.
Yeah, lurking. Lots of lurks. Yeah, lots of lurking. Yeah.
Yeah, just lurking out in the waters.
Yeah.
At one point, the Japanese Navy decided that they were going to try to undermine the President Franklin D. Roosevelt at the time, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, I read Fireside right when I was saying that because that was a thing he liked to do.
Oh, yes, chats.
Yeah, his fireside chats.
Hits you up, talk to you.
Yeah, so they decided to try to disrupt one of his fireside chats on February 23rd, 1942.
Okay.
At 7:15, during one of his fireside chats, a Japanese submarine surfaced off the coast of Santa Barbara, California.
Oh, my God.
And began shelling the oil field, the Elwood oil field, it was called.
Holy shit.
They didn't do a whole lot. They were trying to, more than trying to do damage, they were just trying to get in people's heads, I think.
Just a little bit of terror.
Yeah. Because they only did $500 at the time worth of damage, which is under 10 grand for now.
And considering they're shelling a place, that isn't too bad.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah. Because 10 grand worth of damage is, you know, substantial.
For a government, but, or like, that's not, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, but nobody got.
But when they're shooting at it with a 5-inch cannon, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
They missed, like, all the gas production stuff, which is what would have caused more problems.
That would have been very bad.
Yeah. Well, once they did that, though, you know, people are already on high alert.
Mm-hmm.
They've now been attacked by Japan from the sea, like
right.
Land in California has been struck. People are getting more nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 24th of February, 1942, the Office of Naval Intelligence issues a warning that mainland California should be expected to be under attack within the next 10 hours.
Great. That's not going to cause anything like a panic or disarray or confusion. Does the people know? Like, this was told to the people of California?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's probably fine.
Yeah, everybody's on high alert. The night comes. Flares are being popped over cities.
Mm-hmm.
People are on high alert, keeping an eye out for what could happen.
Yeah.
Spotlights. But that nothing really happens.
Okay.
7:15 is when the alert was called. And it kind of dwindled out at 10:23 p.m.
Okay.
So just 3 hours roughly.
Okay.
However, in the early morning hours, air raid sirens begin to blast throughout Los Angeles County.
Not good.
2:25 a.m., air raid sirens are just blaring.
Oh, my God.
Spotlights go up.
Nope.
Thousands of air raid wardens are to take their positions.
Mm-hmm.
At around 3:15 a.m., something was spotted.
Okay.
Chaos ensued. Shells start going off. Anti-aircraft shells are exploding. People are shooting. There's machine gun fire. They're shooting the anti-aircraft shells are like 13 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And over the course of about an hour, mm-hmm. 1,400 of these shells are fired into the air.
Well, that's an amount.
Yeah. No, it was just carnage in the sky.
Yeah.
But what did they see?
What did they see?
There's a lot of different claims about what they saw going on.
Yeah.
Some saw squadrons of fighter jets.
That makes sense.
Or planes, I guess, at the time.
Yeah.
Some saw large, slow-moving objects moving through the sky. Some said that they saw the anti-aircraft shells striking these targets, and they seemed to take no damage at all.
Okay.
Some said they looked like giant spheres.
Uh-oh.
Some said they were saucer-like.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my. Oh, heavens.
But the incident went on for an hour, and like I said, it was just full-on carnage.
Yeah, it feels like straight-up chaos.
You had a military and civilian population that was expecting the worst,
mm-hmm.
and saw something in the sky, and they let hell loose on it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's just like, is something up there? Hey, if it's up there, it ain't going to make it out of this.
Yeah.
At least that's the intention, you know what I mean?
That was the intention.
What if it's just a giant shotgun of just shit into the sky? Boom! Multiple times. You know what I mean? Like, covering all the, that's what I mean. Like, that's
kind of what it
that's
was.
What, that's what it was, what I mean, yeah.
And there's some photos I'll show you here.
Okay. The fucking 4th of July.
I think there was 5 or 6 people injured.
Oh.
By friendly fire only.
Oh, yeah, of course.
One guy had a heart attack. That was one of them.
Okay.
3 people got in car accidents from driving during blackout. Without headlights and stuff, I'm assuming. So.
Boom.
And then I don't know what the other ones were, but it was like 5.
He probably fell.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, during the night of the 24th and 25th of February 1942, unidentified objects caused a succession of alerts in Southern California and LA County. The Air Force, or I think it was the Navy at the time, because we didn't have an Air Force technically then.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or it was maybe the Army. But they never scrambled planes. They said they saw radar objects coming from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple radar hits picked up things.
So something was
in the air.
Something was moving.
Mm-hmm. And one artillery colonel said 25 planes at about 12,000 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It was just chaos. Everybody was seeing different things. People were seeing giant things just floating. Things swarming. They ranged from in height from a few thousand feet to a few hundred feet and everywhere in between. They varied from moving extremely slow to extremely fast. No bombs were dropped. There was no attack from whatever these objects were that they were shooting at.
And the fact that there's just objects, people are just seeing, they're seeing something and it's going so fast and probably so, like we said, chaotic. They just don't know what they're seeing.
Right.
But they're seeing something.
Yeah, they are seeing something. And this, maybe a little bit tongue-in-cheek, becomes known as the Battle of Los Angeles.
I love it. Hilarious. Well, yeah, I'm sure it sounds like a fucking battle.
It was a battle.
They're shooting. Oh, my God.
What were they shooting at? We don't know, because nothing was downed, except for some said that they had downed them and that they had crashed in intersections in L.A.
What?
Nothing was ever recovered.
Or said to be recovered.
Right.
Now we get those juices flowing.
Then, and this, the day after it, like, so the shelling ended at about 4:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then the all clear was given at 7:15, so about, or roughly, so about 3 hours later.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of even more confusion after that, because the Navy, I'm going to mix this up probably, but one of the branches of the government, or our military, said that there was nothing there. And the other one said, like, no, we've, like, interviewed and, like, done our due diligence and talked to these people, and we've confirmed that there was at least 5 unidentified objects flying around L.A. when we were doing the shelling.
Yeah.
And they, like, kind of broke it down to that. And then, like, the two military branches were button heads, and it didn't help anybody get any clear idea of what's going on. So everybody's like, what the fuck happened?
Right. What did the fuck happen?
Well, let me show you this picture, because it's a pretty wild picture. And anybody listening, you can Google this and just search for the Battle for LA photo, and it's like an iconic photo.
Okay.
So you see how there's It's not like people are shooting at random things. It's like every spotlight is trained on one location.
Right.
And there's shells like blowing up around it.
Yeah, they've something.
It's like they saw something.
Right. And they all pinpointed that location and then just went to fucking town.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, that looks like a battle.
Yeah, it does. Like it is a battle.
And whatever's in the center of that light's getting obliterated in theory.
Yeah, so if you're driving and you can't look up photos, there's like 10, 12 maybe, anti-aircraft spotlights lighting up some sort of object in the center of it. You can't really make it out. And they say that this photo was, like, the color was blown out to put it in newspapers to try to make it more visible for the newspaper readers at the time.
So it might be a little more extreme than it may have actually looked.
Yeah, but like it looks like there's something in the middle there, and then there's like shell explosions, like anti-aircraft explosions, all around it. Yeah. It's just very interesting.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, and 1,400 shells. Again, it's the 12.5-pound anti-aircraft shells that I'm talking about. That's a lot.
It's a huge amount.
It gave some guy a heart attack and he died.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, that's the way you go.
It's a,
this insane scenario, and you never even know why it happened, and then you just, that's just it. It's actually very depressing.
Yeah, kind of. Well, so basically, the main story is that there was nothing there. It was...
Sure it is.
It was a case of everybody's nerves too tightly wound.
Right.
And then in 1983, they said, oh, no, there's a weather balloon there.
And once you start talking weather balloons, then I'm like, no. Come on.
Yeah, or at some point they said weather balloon. This actually, they might have said weather balloon at the beginning, too. But there was like a 1983 report where it was like, nope, just a weather balloon. That's what it was. But
good try, guys.
But so they,
I'm buying that
they
shit.
Asked the Japanese, like post-World War II, like if they had ever flown any.
Hey, guys. Yeah.
And they were like, no, we never flew anything over L.A. or anything over California, really.
Then everybody's like,
Yeah.
What are we shooting at? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
What is there? Why is it there? Who is there?
Who is there?
Who is there? Well, clearly nothing. It was just a weather balloon. I don't even know why I'm entertaining anything else. That'd be strange.
Said it's just...
Yeah, I can't imagine we would with it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just... This was fucking wild.
Mm-hmm.
Let's everyone speculate about what we shelled over Los Angeles.
Yeah, and just shelled and shelled and shelled. And lots of people said they saw it. It was even corroborated enough that one of the branches of the military were like, yeah, there was at least 5 of these things flying around that night.
Well, they also have to justify, we were shooting something, we were just going
nuts. And
they
had it on radar.
Yeah.
Coming off the, out from the water.
It's dark as hell, you can't see anything.
And sure, everybody's ready to go, geared up. Ready to shoot stuff, but it's unexplained.
And the, I mean, I don't know, we probably get into it, but the thing you think about these things is like, okay, well, was it something we had?
Well, there was a lot of ideas of that.
I bet.
And that kind of comes into what I'm going to talk about next.
Yeah.
Because we're going to continue with World War II.
Okay.
We're going to move a little bit away from the Battle of LA now.
Okay, sure.
But we're going to go to Europe.
Okay.
Where over the, in the skies of Europe.
Okay.
Fighter pilots,
mm-hmm.
German and Allied forces.
Okay.
Were seeing things.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
A popular band nowadays is named after this phenomenon.
Okay.
The Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Allied pilots during World War II were seeing various unidentified flying objects flying alongside their ships, behind their ships, chasing their ships.
People still see these things today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And they were described differently sometimes. But a lot of the times they say they're like orange, fiery orb lights, kind of.
Okay.
But there's different colors, too. Some are green, some are red. But they follow these pilots, like, to the point where it's you couldn't be mistaken as some random rocket. Because it's obviously flying with a sentience.
They're distinctive. Because
the pilots are like, what is that? And they try to shake it, and then the thing just, like, follows along.
Oh, just hanging out, just checking you out.
Yeah, that's basically what it was, because they never engaged with them. Like, the few that did try to, like, flip the script on them and attack them, they could never get
too
it.
Too fast?
Yeah, they just couldn't get it lined up. And they would see groups of these things and all sorts of different stuff. So there's actually a small list of sightings we can go through.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of different ones, too.
Sure.
But there's just a nice little list right on Wikipedia of sightings.
Yeah, because if we're going wild, it's just like those things come out just to get, hey, what's up? Just checking you out.
Yeah.
There's this big war going on. This is kind of disrupting our environment. What's going on here?
Well, it's interesting because it is like we just had World War One. What, 20 years before this? Not even?
Maybe a little over. Depends.
America
joined later, but I mean, you know.
It started in like 1917?
Yeah, it ends in like 1919-ish, right around there. And then 1945, so about 25-ish years. And I mean, that's when World War One ended. I mean, World War Two ended, so I mean, if you count the 30s. But yeah, right around.
Yeah, because it kicked off in like 39.
Right, so.
I think so.
Yeah, about 20 years. I mean, it's a weird blurry line when it's officially, but like this shit's getting ready to go for a while.
Yeah, so maybe that gigantic conflict.
Like, whoa!
Attracted something, and then.
But they're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, and then another gigantic conflict, even bigger one.
These humans, whatever they are, they can't stop this.
Yeah. Well, so maybe they're like, what is going on? What are these things?
Yeah.
Wow, that thing's gas-powered? Gasoline? What the fuck is that?
Are they sucking stuff out of the earth? Like, that's not... This is going to fuck up the environment. Oh, well.
It's just not efficient.
This is dumb.
So, 1941, in the Indian Ocean, from the deck of the SS Pulaski, mm-hmm. a Polish merchant vessel, with British troops, two sailors reported seeing a strange globe glowing with greenish light about half the size of the full moon as it appears to us.
Oh, my God.
They watched the object and its movements for over an hour.
Can you imagine that hour? Just staring at it with your friend?
Be fascinating.
Oh, my God. What is that? I don't know. Is that a star? No, that's moving. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're playing games with each other. Oh, my God.
It's big, though. Half the size of the full moon?
Yeah, it's large. At least that's how close it is to you.
Yeah, that's big.
It's right there.
A New Zealander pilot flying with the number 3 squadron night flight encountered two amber or orange colored lights that followed him on an intruder mission over northern France in December 1942.
Oh my God.
One of the lights was higher than the other, which appeared to rule out wingtip navigation lights from an aircraft.
Of course.
The lights pursued him until he reached the English Channel. Another pilot from his unit experienced a similar phenomenon the following evening with a green light. 13th of October 1944, a Royal Air Force crew from number 178 Squadron, based in Italy, said they saw lights following their aircraft over Hungary during a night raid in that place that I'm not going to even try to say.
Okay.
A B-24 Liberator flown by pilot Officer Taylor was followed by an intermittent red light for several minutes.
Oh my God.
The squadron had reported seeing numerous similar instances as early as April 44 and continued through the remainder of 1944 and into 1945. So that's like months of them seeing these things following them.
It's ongoing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's a squadron. It's not like one guy is like, yep, there it is again.
No, it keeps popping up and everybody's like, hey, what's this? Oh, there's that. Oh, it's the back again.
Charles R. Bastion of the 8th Air Force said he saw Foo Fighters over the Belgium-Netherlands area. He described them as two fog lights flying at high rates of speed that could change direction rapidly during...
It's always that.
Right? Just... And these are... This is a relatively new thing with, you know, the Air Force.
Right.
With planes flying all over the world.
Uh-huh.
Pretty wild.
It is.
A U.S. Air Force pilot said that he's witnessed two occurrences of a bright light which paced his aircraft for about half an hour and then rapidly ascended into the sky. Both incidents occurred at night, both over the South Pacific, and both were witnessed by the entire aircraft crew.
That's such a long time. It probably feels like an eternity.
It was a B-25 bomber, so that's a big plane. Yeah, so it's at least a handful of people.
Yeah.
Apparently he saw it again in the 60s. When he was later piloting a KC-135 tanker plane.
He's like, there's you again.
Yeah.
What's up, old buddy? How you been?
A senator, Ted Stevens, described seeing an encounter when he was in the Air Force during World War II. So another senator was with him? Senator Harry Reid also said that, or recounted it. I was flying and there was an object next to me. I couldn't get rid of it. I slowed up. It was there. I sped up. It was there. I would dive. It would be there. I called. Nothing on radar.
I mean, Harry Reid was in charge of the UFO four. Like he helped start one of those things.
Okay, so maybe it was. Maybe he was just recounting this story from the other senator because I'm a little confused with the way this sentence is laid out.
Sure.
But either way, weird story. Right?
It is, yes.
So, a lot of pilots reported seeing these lights, like I said. They also reported seeing, like, cigar-shaped objects flying rapidly with them.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
They're just weird geometric shapes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Round, circular, oval, cylindrical objects all the time. But they're usually not jagged. It's always, like, smooth.
Aerodynamic.
Right.
Yeah, another story is Schluter said he saw 10 of these glowing, fiery, orange things off of his right wing. And when he checked with the Allied ground radar, they didn't have anything. Thinking, you know, the lights could be some kind of German weapon, he turned the plane to the right. And as soon as he did, the lights vanished. A lot of the pilots didn't want to say anything at the time because, but when your entire crew is seeing it with you, like,
right. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah. On December 17th, 1944, near Breisach, Germany, a pilot was flying at approximately 800 feet. When he saw five or six flashing red or green lights in a T-shape, the lights seemed to follow him. They closed in to about 8 o'clock at 1,000 feet before disappearing inexplicably.
I mean, not good. What's that? It's already gone. There's the thing I saw and
yeah.
I have to deal with for the rest of my entire life.
Lieutenant Samuel A. Krasny's experience was a wingless cigar-shaped object glowing red, just a few yards off the plane's wingtip. He was spooked.
Rightfully so.
And attempted to make evasive maneuvers, but the glowing object stayed right next to the jet for several minutes before it just flew off and disappeared.
Just hanging.
So just people were chilling. Seeing these, the Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters were rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
During World War II.
And pilots were seeing them all over the place.
Pilots still see this shit to this day.
Yeah, they still do. And that's why it's just interesting that it goes back to basically when we were getting closer to modern planes.
And the thought I had just now as you were recanting all those accounts is like you said, we're just getting up into the sky, really. So, like, for how many, if we just go with this, for how many centuries before do these things just fly? We're in their space, probably. They've been up there for fucking forever, maybe, and now we're just kind of poking around. Like, whoa, what the fuck? What are these humans doing? They're in the sky now? Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, especially if you think back to, like, World War One, it was just, like, biplanes and stuff.
Yeah, it was just, like,
blimps.
Nothing, right.
Like, now we got, like, what the Germans had, like, the Messerschmitt, like, jet rocket plane stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, we got jet airplanes coming around. Mm-hmm. We got things that are flying thousands of feet up in the air now.
Which, like, if you get real fun.
The Super Fortress.
The Super Fortress is insane.
Yeah.
You're real crazy. You think about, you know, you indulge these talks. And it's like, okay, maybe we did find something. And we're advancing up to their levels.
Maybe.
You know, reverse engineering. Mm-hmm. That's always a hot topic. That we've got just a bunch of things hanging out somewhere. We're fucking with it, poking around, making things. Stealth bomber is pretty weird. Looks different than anything else we've ever built ever.
Yeah, it's pretty weird looking.
Pretty strange.
Yeah, I saw a video of one flying recently. Like somebody like out hiking caught one flying through a canyon.
Yeah.
They look weird. Like it's
out of this world.
Especially when you see it come and you're like, what is that? And then you see it like profile when it flies past and you're like,
oh, no.
It still looks weird, but at least I know what that is now.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so these pilots were seeing a lot of weird stuff. These soldiers in L.A. were seeing some weird stuff. Similar to what the L.A. stuff gets written off to is a lot of the things the pilots saw gets written off as, you know, combat fatigue, stress.
Sure.
Things like that.
But, like, I don't know, man.
But they're seeing stuff.
I haven't been combat stressed. But, like, you'd think if you saw something glowing in the sky, you'd be like, that's glowing in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something moving and changing direction rapidly.
Right.
What? Excuse me?
Yeah, I mean, stress can do some weird stuff. But
it can, though. That's true, too.
But
yeah, it's a lot to ask.
This is also people with experience at this point.
Yeah.
Seeing these things.
It stands out to them, and that's what lends the most credibility to anything.
Yeah.
It's like, they do things, they fly things, they see things, and sometimes they see things they didn't expect to see and don't even have an explanation for. And nobody does.
Yeah. So, yeah, that is the battle for L.A. and touching into the Foo Fighters. Minus Dave Grohl.
And maybe he was flying one of those things.
Mm-hmm. So much like those people in L.A. and pilots and stuff saw something. We actually got an email from somebody that saw something recently, too.
Thank you for your contribution. We much appreciate that.
You know, I never know if we should say who sent it. Just first name?
Does it say first and last name?
It's got a first and last name in his account, so I'll just say first name.
First name is fine. Yeah, sure.
So we received this message from Andrew. Andrew, thank you for sending this in for us. And
thank you, Andrew.
I don't think Nick's heard it at all yet. So
Nick has not dabbled in this. I was told at some point it would be read to me, so we're gonna get wild right now, firsthand. Firsthand. It's from him, but mm-hmm. My reactions will be live. Is my point.
Yeah, so I'm just going to read his email basically as he wrote it to us.
Okay.
He said, hello, guys. I'm finally able to get this story to you.
Yes.
Yeah. So I had just moved across town in Point, Texas, and after unpacking for most of the day. I went to wind down for the night and was sitting in my room on the futon watching TV, and I felt like something was watching me. So I looked around in my room, and I saw nothing.
Andrew?
So I looked into my son's room, because the only way to get his get to his room was to go into my room. Anyways, I looked at the window, and there it was. A gray alien was looking right at me.
Andrew!
It had no nose and no mouth. I rubbed my eyes in disbelief, but it was still there. So I stood up to maybe get a closer look, but when I did, it ran so fast towards the field behind my house that it left a gray streak behind it.
What?
I then, a few days later, watched a movie called Fire in the Sky.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a banger.
It's a good one. It's a bad one to watch if you just saw this in your yard.
This is a little too, it's a little too on the nose, man.
Yeah.
As in, like, if you saw this and then watched this movie, you'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, so he said, I watched Fire in the Sky, and the scene where the abducted man was going around the alien ship where you see the alien spacesuit shook me, because it looked exactly to the T what I had seen looking at me.
No.
I'll never forget what I saw, and I believe that the suit has some kind of electrodes that attach the alien's muscles in order to run that fast. Well, that's it for me. Feel free to send me a message if you have any questions. I mean...
Andrew, you mean to tell me you're just going to drop this bombshell on my lap?
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to process this right now?
Yeah.
This alien creature ran to the field, and it may have, in fact, been wearing some kind of bioengineered alien Iron Man suit?
Well, and so Fire in the Sky is actually based off of the Travis Walton encounter, which is an interesting encounter that we'll probably have to talk about at some point.
It is a whole thing, yeah.
I don't know how much he was involved with making that movie, but, I mean, maybe that he saw that and he was like, no, it's more like this. And then our buddy here just sees the same thing, and he's like, wait a second.
Right. Well, and, you know, the universe maybe, you know, there's not always, the universe isn't always full of coincidences. Sometimes things find you because they're meant to. So he just sees this thing, is looking for explanation, and then watches this movie. He's like, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
That's just what I saw. Also, in your house, like, I did not expect this individual to see something inside of his home. I don't know what I would do in that situation.
Well, it wasn't in his home. It was looking in the window.
Oh, it was looking in the window. I'm sorry.
No, he was in his son's bedroom, if I'm understanding correct.
I understand. He was in his son's bedroom, correct. All right, so, yeah, peering through your kid's window, not the best.
Still not good.
No, it's pretty. It's almost in the home.
It's close enough, like, to being in the home that you're not thrilled about it.
Yeah, I didn't expect like a corporeal being. I expected maybe like a light in the sky, maybe see an unidentified aerial phenomenon, not an unidentified earth-walking thing.
Right.
That sprints off into the woods.
Pretty terrifying.
That's terrifying and incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sending that in, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm still in the midst of processing this scenario in which you experienced.
I would not be having a good time.
I don't know. I don't think I'd be having a bad time. I think I'd be having a great time. I'm going to be honest. I'd be like, I don't know what that is.
Well, yeah, I guess.
I'm living in the moment right now, and what is that?
Yeah.
And then it runs away, which means it doesn't really want to do any harm. It just got caught being a creep.
Yeah.
Also, creeping on my kid? Hey, get out of here, alien.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's... pretty frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah, just curious, I guess. Hopefully.
I got to think about what questions I could have for you, Andrew.
Well, we can always write them back.
That's what
you
I
don't
mean.
Have
yeah.
to think about them all right now.
Oh, I'm in the moment. I'm in the moment.
I know,
thinking,
I can see that.
Thinking live. I'm like, okay, what are we going to
mm-hmm.
ask about?
Hopefully he'll hear this too, and then he can...
Yeah, for sure. Can, you know, mention in the comments or in the description... that, you know, sentence citing, you know what I mean? That's something people should be aware of, too.
Mm-hmm.
That we take those, and we love to read these things.
Yeah.
How big was it? That's probably the question I would ask, because I think he nailed out what it did. It showed up and it ran away.
Yeah. But you're getting, like, you want more details, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
How
but
tall,
I mean,
what's build?
Memory's a funny thing.
It is a funny thing. He didn't say how recently he saw this either. He sent us the email at end of February. So relatively new. So if we get back to him.
It's recent. Yeah. We got to it. Yeah. So more thoughts on that later. Now, just in the moment, just visualizing what he saw and how intense it was.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. That's wild.
Well, there's a little fun for us add on.
It's a neat anecdote to hear. Maybe not to live.
Yeah. To our tales of unidentified things.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you've experienced anything, I mean, we would love you to send that to us. The email is weirdandfeardpodcast@gmail.com.
Sure is.
I mean, I don't know. Anything else to add to Andrew's experience?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys can, you know, follow us on the patreon.com/weirdandfeared. Just get some bonus content on that bad boy behind the veil. And you can, you know, support us in any way you're able to. We love that. Leave us a review where you can. We love those things as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, follow us on the Instagram. And just press us, you know, just we spend a lot of time looking down these days. Maybe we should start, again, lifting ourselves up toward the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Look up.
Yep.
Maybe you'll see something.
Maybe.
Or maybe you'll see something outside your window and get to call the police.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
And then, if they believe you or not, well, it leads to a whole other situation where you have to tell the cops you saw an alien creature. Or they show up and they see it and you watch a wild situation happen outside your window.
Could be.
All these things are possible.
Sure.
All right, guys. Well, you know what to do. Live, laugh, love.
Nope.
And stay spooky.
Yeah, stay spooky.